Today is March 1st, day near dear to my heart, 2017, and this is episode number 400, if you can believe it, of the Apple Context Machine. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, co-founder, co-publisher, and editor-in-chief of the Mac Observer, or TMO, as we like to call it.
Congratulations on your 400th episode. We should have, like, streamers and music or something going. Something. Anyway, and I'm John Keat. Director of Nickelback Appreciation at TMO. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
God, I hate Nickelback so much. When did I create that position? Seems an awful, awful idea. So, well, all right, I have a question.
Sure.
Where the heck is Jeff? This is our 400th episode, and you're here.
I really, you know, it's funny. I don't deserve to be here on most occasions.
Yeah, let's make a special show.
Worthy to fill Jeff's shoes, particularly on a 400th episode.
400 episodes, and Jeff is moving today, actually. And you know,
well, good for Jeff. I hope he likes his new digs. I don't know where
he has some nice new digs.
Good.
Yeah. I'm happy for him.
Is he still staying in the same town, or is he moving more far afield?
He's still in Boulder. Actually, this is a great thing. This is hilarious. It's blizzarding today in
the really
Boulder, yeah in the Boulder area, and he's moving around the block, so it's way too close to use a truck,
but far enough that it'll be tedious and torturous to move the stuff.
Yes, because he's moving through a blizzard.
Oh, poor fella.
And he's got to be out today because he's got people coming in, you know. It's a thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, good luck to him. In the meanwhile, we're here, and you, dear listener, are stuck with me and John. Call it a family-friendly third dry run for Pop.0.
Family-friendly. Yes, it is.
It's a family-friendly third dry run for Pop.0.
A full core of my brain power, which is probably limited to only half of a core to start with, will be dedicated to keeping it family-friendly. So I'm half a core down if I'm doing the math right.
you do the self-effacing thing well. So, all right, on that happy note, we do have some topics, believe it or not. And first topic, you actually picked these topics out today, John, which seems fitting for our 400th episode. So I'm glad that you did all the work. All the pre-show work.
This is a great show.
Yeah, it's good stuff so far.
Gonna outsource this completely to China next episode.
That's
right?
A great idea. So, right. What's the first topic?
The topic number one is it feels like a Carmack bit. Topic number one is the Galaxy 8 seems to have been at least some parts of it leaked today, and
probably intentionally.
And it seems very one, looks kind of nice, and two, it seems to be a manifestation of a lot of the rumors that have been running around about the iPhone 8 and what it's supposed to look like and be, which is only fitting that Samsung not only copy the actual products but copy rumors about the products as well.
Samsung has been doing this for years now. They're the company is so obsessed with being perceived as some kind of a thought leader in this space. The company, I mean, it's just comical to me the way they rush to put out stuff to beat Apple's rumor. It's like it's just to me proving that they're not thought leaders.
They're not. Well, I mean, they get to say that. I'll tell you where they are a thought leader. Why is it that a lot of these companies that make Android phones can drop at just any moment, put out a product? right? This is not the first company that makes Android phone that has been trying to anticipate based on rumors and leaks what Apple's release is going to be like. And in that shorter amount of development time, actually put out a product that looks like that. I think it was Mizuzi or one of the other Chinese makers did that a couple of cycles ago with the iPhone 6 as well.
I've got an answer for that.
So how pathetic is it that Apple, who, you know, can keep supposedly at least some of these things under wraps until it hits the production line, still takes longer to get the product out than these companies that just hear the rumors and are able to, in the meantime, get out a product before Apple does?
Well, I've got an answer. This is going to be one of those times when recently when I'm defending Apple against your anger and fury. And scorn and loathing. Apple is a big part of what takes Apple so long is gearing up for the large numbers that they need to make. Samsung will make nowhere near as many Galaxy S8s as Apple makes iPhone 8s. Nowhere near.
So you're saying
nowhere near. And so, Mizu Company, whatever they were called, there's a sushi company here. There's a sushi restaurant here called Mizu. So that's what I'm thinking in my head whenever you say that. But whatever that company was, they were probably making, you know, 100,000 units as opposed to the, you know, 10 million units or 20 million units or 30 million units that Apple's going to need to make in its first quarter.
I don't think they make that few. And secondly, it's not like when Apple releases their products, it's great supply. Xiaomi, I think is the name of the company, XIAOMI.
Apple is making so many of these things, John. I think it's real easy to take for granted the logistical miracle that every single iPhone launches. I mean, it's really, come on, man, you know enough about this. It's remarkable what Apple is able to do when it rolls these things.
Yeah, we're of different opinions because the initial supply is always hugely restrained and limited.
Yeah, but they're still shipping tens of millions of units, man. No one else is coming in anywhere close to that. No, Samsung ships more devices, but they're shipping like, you know, 172 different models. So it's like a few of each.
You know what's interesting is I wonder if Xiaomi and Samsung actually...
Oh, you're talking about Xiaomi. Go ahead. Whatever.
Xiaomi, is that how you pronounce it? Sorry, Xiaomi. I've never cared enough to care how it's pronounced, but thank you, Xiaomi. I wonder if they actually have their own factories to assemble and do these things, which is something that Apple has totally given up on. By the way, another area where they're completely given up being a thought leader. And people think of assembly.
No, you're wrong on that. Apple is so deeply in control of its supply chain.
Is it as deeply as their pipeline? Is it as deeply as their pipeline, Brian? Is that deep? That arm length deep?
Stop. We will get to that. But I cannot believe that you don't acknowledge the logistical miracle that Apple's supply line is.
I have good reason to question a lot of their claims of greatness as of late. So, yeah, I'm going to this is besmirched by mere association of the rest of their lameness. And let me tell you, my point there is people who have given up on manufacturing and outsourced this to the Foxconns and of the earth as if that's inconsequential have made a critical mistake in our a critical strategic mistake, in my opinion. Controlling manufacturing, I mean, to the extent that it used to be just human labor that was doing a mind-numbing job, maybe wasn't that interesting. But it hasn't been about that for a long time. And the making things robotic, you know, making plants that can do these things almost by themselves is something that China and Foxconn itself has invested in heavily. They have one test factory. It's their second test. The first test was a failure, but the second test factory that they did was a success for assembling iPhones and whatnot, where they replaced like 50,000 human beings because the labor apparently was too expensive in China for them to put up with. And they replaced those with an automated factory. There isn't a lot of innovation, and more so than just the recycling lame robot that Apple used for a fun soundbite during one of their product rollouts on the manufacturing side, and that they aren't investing in that.
John, actually,
they're investing in that by giving it away to Foxconn and other producers. This is a mistake.
This is where you're at. In this case, you are. This is not of us having a different opinion. This is actually, I think, you may be shy on some facts here.
Apple enlighten me.
Develops most of its own manufacturing techniques. So, like all these companies that are making stuff, what they're usually doing is actually managing the processes that Apple has developed. And Apple also tends to buy and/or make the specialized machinery that is being used to make its components, and they are utterly controlling all of the manufacturing and even the assembly techniques.
So
in ways that other company does. No other company.
So I am aware of this, and the great version of that was when they couldn't make. The right kind of machines to make the iPhone 4 band well, and that the initial supplies were done by kind of like these small scale 3D-ish printer type devices. Steve Jobs' solution was just buy thousands of those devices, right? He told the plants to do that, and Foxconn shrugged its shoulders and said, okay, and they bought a ton of those machines. Here's the difference. By doing that, you have now trained your competitor in China with all your best information instead of doing it yourself.
At the very least,
they've given that away to the world instead of just developing it themselves and having it as a strategic asset. Two, it's still not the same as it all being on your shoulders. When the buck stops with you, the sense of that development is going to be different. And it's something that they did abdicate part of it. I agree with you. They're more involved in Foxconn and was it Pegatron or Pegasus? I forget the Pegatron. Other one. Their development than almost any other company. But on the other hand, it's never the same as when it's your responsibility. And moreover, congratulations, you've just trained and generated a huge competitor for yourself. Kudos.
All right, I'm going to give you some of this for sure. I don't think that we can minimize what Apple is doing. I have personally thought about exactly the risk you're talking about, where they're training their competitors, they're training other people to do this stuff. That is certainly.
And if you don't think that bleeds over to Samsung and every other competitor.
Sure.
I think you're highly optimistic.
Yeah, it does. It does, for sure.
And not to mention, it's one of the reasons they've never been able to keep a secret since they've gone to outsourcing this production, because all their manufacturers and assemblers leak like crazy. We know every detail about every product that's about to be manufactured months in advance.
To your point, there is an exception that actually proves your rule. And that's Mac Pro.
Right? Yes.
When Mac Pro was introduced 3 years and 8 months ago, we had no inkling that that device even existed.
And because it was their own factory, which is basically twiddling its thumb. It is now a thumb twiddling factory, apparently. They are now number one producers of twiddled thumbs.
Little known fact and stat. There is still kind of an issue of scale there. There's another exception that proves your rule, and that is that most software announcements have been kept under wraps because those are also done in house. But there's a kind of an asterisk to go with my comment about the fact that Apple's making its own Mac Pros and that we didn't know about them, and that's that. Yes, it's its own factory. Yes, it didn't leak, but there were also probably dozens of people employed there, and not hundreds of thousands of people. So let me ask you this though. I'm sure all our listeners, we all understand that Americans are not going to work in the conditions that people are working in China. Now, I'm not talking... Apple is paying more than other people. Apple's working conditions are better in China than most, if not all, other manufacturers. But a big part of what makes iPhone launches possible are factory towns, where people are actually living in the darn factories and, you know, waking up to shifts and buying all their stuff from the company store. Here in the States, we had our, you know, great-grandfathers and great-great-grandfathers and great-great-grandmothers and great-grandmothers fought and died for us not to have factory towns and for us to have a 40-hour work week, for us to have a five-day week, for us to have 2 days a week off. And that hasn't happened in China, and Apple could not possibly make the number of iPhones in the States that are being made in China, at least until all of it can be done almost entirely by robots, and the only employees there are the people who are minding the robots.
So first, they already have replaced factories with nothing but robots. Foxconn itself has done that. This is clearly the future. And isn't it sad that we're going to be having to go to a different country just to use their robots instead of having our own robots here?
Go ahead.
That's all going away. I mean, a lot of this labor is going away. What's shocking to me, and I kind of, I have some qualms. You know, there's nothing. We're all brainwashed by our own culture as being the norm and the baseline for all reality. And it's just the same wherever you go as to what's reasonable or not. And
this is true.
We're very pompous here because we feel like everyone should live the way that we do. And, you know, other people don't necessarily feel that way and their cultures are different. And they've grown to accept that. It's funny, you know, there's just terrible misinformation, in my opinion, on the standards of living in China. When ABC did its hit piece on Apple there, they talked about, you know, oh, look, there are people jumping off the buildings because it's so bad. I'm like, Foxconn employs a million people. There's a statistical rate of suicide per million that's higher in America than the people that were killing themselves at Foxconn. And they showed, you know, the living conditions as they're walking through. And I looked at them and I'm like, yeah, they were basically the dorm that I lived in. And I'm not saying that was a great dorm. It was a pretty crappy dorm where I lived when I went to college. But then they showed those same folks' real homes. And oh my gosh. It was, to call it an upgrade is the understatement of the century, because they were living, they had dirt floors with no piping. I mean, it was horrendous where those folks came from. The salary that they were paid was 2x of the going kind of electronics assembly rate, which was 2x of the going rate for the region. So they were basically making 4x the going rate for the region. And yet everyone on the West was sure that they knew that those people needed to be paid more because they're such big economists and titans of industry. And they know that if two people jump off of a building, even though the suicide rate is 12 per million in the U.S., that they know how people in China should live better. So all those, you know-it-alls, they can all go jump off a bridge themselves, as far as I'm concerned. Useless commentary for clickbait and clickbait views.
That half core, by the way, is redlining right now.
Yeah, it really was. Thing got boggy and laggy.
All right, get to your point, Mr. Monologuer.
So, how folks live there is up to them of whether or not, you know, that's reasonable or not. And it's very off to judge that here, in my opinion. But on top of it, so just because we fought for working the way we do, folks elsewhere may want to work a different way. And on top of it, though, is this notion was, and I understand the guy that's running Foxconn. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm paying everyone 4x the going rate. I've given them housing that's about 1,000 times better than where they currently are, and you're still bitching and moaning at me? How about this? I'm going to build iPhone factory that replaces all these workers, and I'm going to get rid of them all. And that's my solution. So everyone could go do stuff to themselves, as far as I'm concerned, because version two of my factory worked out great. Wait till you see version three.
All right. I get your point. I totally get your point. And that's actually completely ancillary to my point. My point is that Apple, as they saw the scaling needs that they had, took manufacturing to a place that could accommodate the scale, actually, turns out, can accommodate a scale beyond what Apple envisioned. And Apple could not own a factory there. There are, you know, all sorts of local laws about who can own what, who can do business how. So my point is, I don't know that Apple could be doing what it's doing today if it wasn't working with companies like Foxconn.
This is where we disagree. And Next had a factory. They had a video, the machine that makes the machine. I bet you could find it.
Yeah, I've seen that. On the web. And it could make 50,000 units, which would be a month.
Right, with 1986 technology.
Right. All right. Let me bypass you there. I get it. Apple could, to tolerances that were about a jillion times looser than the tolerances on an iPhone. But my point is that Apple can still do what it is that you think Apple should do, and Apple will have to do, in my opinion, which is do all this stuff with robots. Apple can still do this because Apple is so involved in its logistical process. Apple could open a factory here in the States with robots as that technology matures to a point that meets Apple's needs. That could still happen. And that would make this Chinese manufacturing that Apple's been doing a side road on the longer path.
Maybe if Apple focused a little less on wrist strap colors and a little bit more on actual innovation, like making a completely automated factory, something that Steve Jobs did more than once, maybe this would have been less of an issue.
I think that wrist strap wow, Freudian slip. I think that wrist strap colors have not been anything that inhibited all the things that Apple is also doing on the manufacturing.
I don't know. You wrote the article, not me, about how many products were released, and you did Apple a huge disservice by not counting the individual wrist strap colors that were released that year, which would have more than doubled the product line. So you missed a huge statistic there.
You're referring
if to you looked article? At the if you included the wrist strap color new product line, you would see that actually their new product line releases have gone up, not down.
You're referring to an article that I wrote looking at the 14 products that Apple shipped in the year 2016, which is ridiculous. We'll have a link in the show notes to that. That is still, however, not because of wrist straps. The people messing around with wrist straps are not the people who should be making Macs. Unless it's Johnny. In which case, you have a point.
Thank you. I don't need to participate in this conversation whatsoever. Thank you.
But, okay.
You want to move on to the next? Anyway, it's a fine new phone.
But Johnny is not involved in making robots to make iPhones and Macs.
Well, he probably should be. Not necessarily in the development of the automatronics, but on the things that it needs to produce. And by the way, he's a big user of 3D tech, which also could be expanded. And I said, was actually used with some of the iPhone 4. I forget if it was the 4 or the 4S development that they did. But yeah, there's more that could be done there. Anyway, I of course, I'm being a little bit petty, but frankly, as horribly as Apple has been working as of late, they deserve much worse.
Hold on. You're being petty? Yeah, must be Tuesday. No, it must be Wednesday. Must be a day in the week that ends
with a Y.
With a Y, yes.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke. Anyway, I don't know that they've done as much as they could. I think they've been very lacking focus on a whole number of areas. And this, in my opinion, is yet another one where they have not focused properly.
Manufacturing, Apple is king of the world when it comes to manufacturing.
They've given away the keys to the kingdom to anyone for $3 less in production cost, which is a strategic mistake.
They've given away the keys to what they've already figured out, right? And Apple still stays ahead of everybody else and still is inventing this.
Apple isn't the one that developed the robot factory for producing iPhones. It was Foxconn.
How do you know that Apple didn't develop those robots? Apple is absolutely developing its own robots for manufacturing.
Right. I saw that recycling robot. It's clearly taking the world by storm.
It's not just the recycling robot. We knew that Apple was developing its own robots for manufacturing long before we saw that recycling thing. Apple is heavily invested in robotics right now. We don't see it.
I look forward to your next article and expose showing all of those manufacturing techniques.
I don't understand why it is that you're quibbling about Apple's manufacturing when
because you're giving no credit to a completely independent organization called Foxconn that clearly has something to do with it.
Yeah, of course it has something to do with it. That's not what I'm saying.
But somehow you give all the creative success to Apple. Oh, the only good things that Foxconn ever did clearly were Apple developed. Yeah.
Clearly, that's what I said. That's almost
word for word, exactly what you said. Afterwards.
You're so ridiculous, John. You're so ridiculous. Anyway, I think we're actually supposed to be talking about the Galaxy S8.
Anyway, so we went down a rabbit hole of why can all these other competitors beat Apple to release just based on rumors with their products when Apple can't even release the actual thing. And that's why we went down that hole, because Apple's manufacturing sucks. That's why. Anyway, we clearly have gone to the point of we agree to disagree on this. But the product itself looks kind of interesting. You know, at least the render shots that were leaked are very pretty. It's kind of edge to edge. It's OLED, which is nice.
The best looking Samsung device I've seen, assuming that it's an accurate render.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost as simple as it can get.
It's almost HTC quality. Because in my opinion, HTC has the best looking Android hardware consistently. I think that their industrial design is way better than Samsung. Samsung's industrial design to me is buffoonish. This device looks sexy. And one of the things this device has is an edge-to-edge screen that Samsung has been way out in front on compared to Apple.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that we're supposed to have, that we might possibly have in either a new iPad and or a new iPhone.
I don't know when Apple's going to get the memo that we all hate big bezels, but
John, let me ask you that. Let's go down another rabbit hole. Let's try to keep it controlled if we can. I use my iPhone, my iPad, hours and hours a day. I read on it. I play a game called Game of War on it, which sucks up way too much time. I use this game, this device all the time. I don't really think I want edge-to-edge display on this thing. Have you thought about this?
Yeah, I have. And I know the argument is you're grabbing it on the edge, but
I'm holding it on the edge. Look, see my thumb? By the way, right. John and I can see each other. We're not – I mean, so I apologize to our listeners.
You look fabulous.
I do not. But I'm holding up my phone, my iPad right now, and where my thumb is where my thumb would be if I were holding it in a way that I was using it. So go ahead.
Well, I have thought about this. One, I think the way that you're holding it there is a little bit unnatural. Most of the time, what I notice when I'm holding it is the bulk of your hand is underneath it. You're using the edge to grab a bit of it, but
I'm a large man and I'm resting it on my stomach. So I'm holding it.
Right. You're resting like there or like and again, a lot of time it's torqued a bit underneath the kind of the palm, the ball of your thumb as you're holding it a bit there. But as long as it's kind of like the equivalent of the palm rejection, that it knows to reject the overhang of your hand, who cares?
That could work.
So that's my thought on it. And otherwise, the smaller, the lighter, the better. And it's definitely the case for the laptops. To this point, you know, again, we're such beaten housewives that we're lauding the smaller bezel on the MacBook Pro, but it's still a large bezel compared to a lot of other laptop manufacturers. I just want it to get down to zero because there's, or as close to zero as possible, and still have a camera up top because it's just not necessary. And the extra width is just creating extra body width that is unnecessary and creating extra weight for the laptop. So, and it's much the same on the phone and on the iPads. I think you get more and more towards the device becoming essential when there's less bezel around it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I wonder how that would work. And you know, okay, here's the reality. I think that this is where I am still absolutely a massive Apple fan. My guess is that if Apple releases an edgeless iPad, it's going to work for me. Because I actually do trust Apple to work through those kinds of things and to do them right. Properly. So yeah, I mean, but I mean,
like palm rejection on the iPad Pro works really well when you're using a pencil.
But there's a difference between
rejecting
I
agree.
A palm it's... and rejecting your the thumb that you're holding it with because the thumb is the thing that you touch the screen with normally.
But you're, I agree. But I think it's within the realm of software solutions that could work.
And if anyone can figure it out, it's Apple.
I do have confidence that they would do the right thing. Anyway, this has a USB. The Galaxy is going to have a USB-C connector. Might have iris scanning. So a lot of the same kind of things that are rumored about. It's going to have a 5.8-inch screen and a 6.2-inch screen. But a lot of the size of that screen is due to the edge-to-edge.
Okay.
And maybe, you know, and it has some virtual buttons. So it sounds very similar to some of the rumors on the iPhone 8. It's not clear. I haven't heard what the rumor is on whether or not, you know, USB-C is likely to come. I think that they're going to stick with Lightning for a little bit more, if only just not to make everyone even more nuts.
Did you listen to the, excuse me, as I cough, did you listen to the TDO where John and Jeff and I discussed that?
No, I didn't listen to that one.
I'll give you that. There's one reason, the biggest reason why I think that Apple is not going to do away with Lightning, and that's control and the MFI program. If Apple goes to a connector that is owned by Intel, or is an open standard, Apple cannot control the MFI program, and it cannot charge money, and it cannot control the quality.
So I think I'm not sure that's true because it's a little bit like Bluetooth. You can add additional layers of software control on top of Bluetooth, which is what they did with the EarPods. And they could do the same thing with a USB-C cable saying this is an Apple certified USB-C cable with our, you know, higher quality circuitry and it kind of like the W1 chip also, you know, adds stuff. So you can do that.
That's an interesting thought.
You can totally do that. Question is, everyone talks about them as if they're equivalent, but the reality is USB-C is a little bit of a fatter, bigger connector. So if Apple genuinely likes these connectors to be as small as possible, Lightning still does have that advantage.
Do you ever know anything about Lightning and USB-C in terms of audio, i.e. headphones? Could you do a quality headphone connector with USB-C?
Yeah, I mean, USB-C can have so much crazy data across it. There's no technical limitation. I don't know if there's a setup protocol for it already, like there is with Lightning, but I would assume so. Apple pushed a lot of that standard, by the way. So
we came away with a couple of very important points, I think, in that conversation. One of them you may have just dispelled, to be honest. But the two things: Lightning will go away at some point.
I agree.
For sure. I think that if it's going to go away, it's going to go away for something different than USB-C. It's going to go something smaller or even wireless.
Maybe, yeah.
Or contact, or like, you know, something that just uses magnetics to contact. I don't think it's going to be replaced by USB-C. Jeff's angle on this was that the leaks have the right data, that USB-C is involved, but what that data is that Apple's going to be shipping iPhones with a Lightning to USB-C connector, and that it's still going to be Lightning on the iPhones.
Yeah, that could be reasonable too. I mean, all fine speculations. The only other thing here, it's kind of coincident, which is there's rumors that there might be 128 gig iPhone SE, and it just makes me sad. Like, it's another place where Apple just sucks so much that they treat us just like garbage. We are their garbage receptacles.
What's your problem with the SE?
That they didn't bother to make it a new design. That they didn't bother to give it 256 gigs of storage.
The SE is the smaller form factor of the iPhone 5. It'll be the 7.
It's an iPhone 5 and an iPhone 5 SE.
The SE has the same guts as the 6S. The new SE will have the same guts as the 7. It's just 4 months behind. What's the problem there?
First, it should just come out at the same time, and there should be a small, medium, and large size for phones so people can pick. Secondly, they didn't change the design at all. It's still the years old.
You know what? Who cares?
Case.
Who cares
is.
About that? The technology on the inside of the iPhone 7.
What are they doing in Johnny Ive's labs? They're not making new Macs. They're not making new phone designs of any kind. We've had the same iPhone freaking 6 piece of garbage design.
Most boring, rounded
rectangle. Most uninspired. Industrial design for years, and on
first
top of it, now we're still with the iPhone 5 problems. Design, which is, you know, it's about a decade almost, it feels like, at this point. What the heck are they
it's not
doing?
The iPhone, what are you talking about? It's not the iPhone 5 design. What are you talking about?
The SE is the iPhone 5 design. Of course it is.
Is it?
It's the same old iPhone 5 design. Dude, take a look.
It's been so long since I looked at it. I thought it had a similar form factor to the 6.
Because they haven't made anything new.
I just understand that I'm going to delete all this out because I don't need our listeners to realize what an idiot I am. And yeah, look at that. It looks just like the 5. I don't even care. The form factor at this point. The only thing I care about the form factor is that it not get thinner in exchange for less battery, right? That's the only thing I care about.
Beaten down housewife, dude. Your standards are like zero. It's like, so what if Johnny Ive doesn't do a new design for anything for years at a time? Okay, it's good that Apple's spending billions of dollars on high industrial design by rehashing the same thing for 3-4 years in a row. That's fantastic. It's good that they artificially don't give us a 128 gigabyte model. Why? Because why would someone want a small phone, even though that was their only phone for years? And why wouldn't they want to give a 256 gig option for that? Because you're a peasant. You peasant. Get what you
all right,
should
so it's,
thank
but it's gonna
for
have,
giving you the crumbs you
it's
get.
It's gonna
peasant.
Have the 128 gig. I don't even know, dude.
That's the rumor that there might be a new 128 gig model because peasants like you don't deserve more.
Yeah, and
more.
It's going to have the other in the
you should be thankful for the 64
the
gig model you got.
It's going to have
shooting
other
4K video
from the 7.
Nothing like 4K video on a 64 gig phone. Why would you ever want more? Anyway, let's move on to the next topic. We've beaten that horse. Clearly, we disagree.
Shocking. By the way,
what was the second topic?
The second topic is kind of a bleed over.
I'm going to get hate mail.
I'm going to get hate mail saying that why do you have John Keane on your show? He hates Apple. And I got to say that anyone who thinks you hate Apple is mistaken because you actually love Apple and you want more from Apple.
How could you not hate a company that has so much and does so little?
Well, all right. To that end, Tim Cook assured us at the shareholder meeting this week that Apple cares deeply about the Pro Market and Creative Pros in particular.
How deep? How deep, Brian?
I don't know because...
Is it as deep as their amazing pipeline? Is it as deep as that pipeline? Because it's deep. That pipeline's deep. We've seen it.
Well, we don't...
I've seen it.
Actually, we don't know what the pipeline is.
He's been saying... Dude, he's been telling us how deep the pipeline is for the last 5 years. So we know what the pipeline was for the last 5 years. And you saw last year, very deep.
Very deep, yeah. There were 14 whole new products last year.
You're just discriminating blatantly against the wrist strap colors.
Plus the wrist straps. So what he said was, and I've got a quote here for you. You will see us do more in the pro area. The pro area is very important to us. The creative area is very important to us in particular. And now, mind you, he said all this despite all evidence to the contrary.
Right, because, you know.
Because, listen, not putting out a Mac Pro in 3 years and 8 months, not updating that thing, and having the audacity, the temerity, the balls to sell it for the same price that you introduced it for is not caring about the pro market. It is not caring about the pro market. It's like you can say this is where I come. I may actually even be angrier than you, maybe.
Dude, I'm about to have a heart attack. That's how angry I am, which will be to the delight of many listeners.
He said, don't think that because something we've done or something we're doing that isn't visible yet is a signal that our priorities are elsewhere.
How about something you haven't been doing, you lying sack of stuff?
He said that don't think that something we've done or something we're doing that isn't visible yet is a signal that our priorities are elsewhere. It's very, very important to us. And again, you can say that, but when you're not shipping new products for pros, you're not demonstrating this caring.
Yeah, well, you know, I know that you like to read the tea leaves of Tim Cook an awful lot and about his deep pipelines. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I guess I'll try to have a little glass half full. At least he's acknowledging that this is an issue.
Oh, that's a good point.
And maybe he
was asked about it.
Yeah, I wonder if the guy asked, is it part of the deep pipeline? I really needed that follow-up question.
Sorry about my phone.
Yeah, I mean, what that means, we still don't know. Does that mean a Mac Pro? Does it mean the same horrific trash can Mac Pro or a real Mac Pro with slots and things of that nature? Does it mean Mac Minis? Does it mean actually making your screens instead of having a third-rate company make horrible-looking screens for you? Does it mean that they might actually do something innovative with regard to their Wi-Fi routers and stuff like that? Does it mean that they will actually start making enterprise software updates more meaningful and more regular? Who knows? And until they actually do anything, it's all just noise. Just noise.
It is.
There's no more merit to his acknowledging that question than his continual empty assertions of a deep pipeline that's proven to be complete garbage.
Okay, I'm not going to give you any pushback on that. Well, okay, wait, no, I got a little pushback. Our definition of when the pipeline should reach market is clearly at odds with his definition. It is possible that he believes that that Apple has a deep pipeline.
Or he's a liar.
He's not a liar.
And he hasn't produced.
I don't like calling Tim Cook a liar, man. I don't like that at all.
He's been doing this deep pipeline for 5 years. So either something horrific has happened in huge ineptitude that things that he thought were going to come out didn't come out.
Or they're taking longer than we would like them to take to
come to
market.
So you think it's reasonable for him to say, yeah, part of our deep pipeline is we won't update Macs for 3 years at a clip. That's a reasonable assertion that's not misleading to the public.
But that's not all the pipeline. That's not all the pipeline.
He's been using the pipeline thing for over 5 years, constantly telling us how great it is, when in fact it's not.
All right, tell me this. When exactly should a new product come out?
Every year.
That's a new – great. So new products that are in development, when should those be released?
Every year. I don't know what
not iterative products. You and I are on the same page. Apple is doing a terrible job of iterating on existing products. And that's part of the pipeline. But it's not all the pipeline.
Okay.
And when Tim says he has a deep pipeline, right?
Dude, you're digging deep.
Stop it. When Tim says that he has a deep pipeline,
Conan the semanticist.
It doesn't just refer to the products that they're not iterating. I want those products iterated too. All I'm saying is that he is not necessarily lying. I don't like characterizing him as a liar.
You don't like calling him incompetent. You don't like calling him out for his lack of focus. You don't like the fact that saying we have a deep pipeline is misleading to the average human being. When they hear that, they think, oh, that means Apple's going to release a lot of cool products, some new, some iterative, but it means they're going to release a lot. And for 5 years, he's been saying that same thing and not producing it. So by most standards, that's misleading. So it's either misleading by design or ineptitude or both. Any of those combinations are pretty sad. I love the utter horrid silence of it.
To quote my favorite musical, those are your words. Name the musical, John.
I don't know the musical, but I'm happy to own those words.
Jesus Christ Superstar. That's what Jesus says to Pontius Pilate when Pontius Pilate accuses him of says that I hear that you can turn water into wine and do all these other miracles. And he goes, those are your words.
Excellent. Well, listen, you can enjoy the fruits of the many products that manifest themselves from that deep pipeline, Brian. Celebrate. Along with your 400th episode, which actually did produce very regular updates.
Well, actually, we went 2 years without having regular episodes. Oh,
well, there's that. So maybe now I understand why you're not so harsh on it.
All right, yeah, you know, that's actually a really good point. All right, let's move on to, do we have anything that we can actually say nice about Apple this week? What's our third topic?
They're doing great stock wise.
Oh yeah, hey, I didn't realize that was a legitimate segue.
Yeah.
Stock prices are record high.
Record high. It broke 140, and you know this is one of the areas where they're doing better than the stock even have you believe. Like I think someone did the calculation, and at over 140, the market cap is over $775 billion. But they've retired so many shares that they probably, you know, before the retirement of those shares, they might have been really close to $1 trillion in market cap.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant because the retiring of the shares is part of why the stock price has gone up.
Well,
it's completely irrelevant. Sometimes it's like you were so much smarter than me. You were so much better educated than me, but you have no understanding of the stock market.
Yes, I'll compare my portfolio to yours, and we'll see who knows more or less. But beyond that little tidbit, I have been watching it, and unfortunately for Apple, a lot of those share buybacks actually resulted in the stock not moving. It's been in the doldrums and plateaued for quite a long time.
Yeah, the stock buybacks were actually buoying the price as opposed to lifting it.
Well, that's a theory.
It's a mathematical fact.
When you
retire shares off the market, it has an effect on the price. This is how math works.
That's assuming that the market is efficient, which you and I don't agree upon. And many people in the market have suggested that the Apple price would have been the same, if not higher, had they done none of the buybacks.
Some of those same people think that the World Trade Center bombing was a conspiracy by the U.S. government. So,
no,
you know,
it's
whatever,
not that
man.
Quality of people. There's a lot of professionals that question whether or not the buybacks should have occurred. I'm for them personally, but
wow.
Well, we clearly disagree on the topic. But anyway, regardless of, all right. So you feel that it's a totally fair price. That's exactly what you said word for word. So what's interesting about it is the P to E has stayed pretty low for the stock, kind of, in my opinion, relatively unfairly so. But it was pushed down and plateaued for so long with such a low P to E and had legitimate good news that the stock was just stuck at and wouldn't move above. And now the last few months, the stock has roared, largely with the rest of the market has also roared. But really no great news has come out of Apple, and it's just gone on a tear, I guess, with the rest of the market.
Well,
so
but part
it's
of that
interesting.
Too is, so Warren Buffett Berkshire Hathaway announcing that they've increased their stake massively in Apple. Yep. That has a lifting effect, but also the mere process of them buying those shares to increase that stake has also helped push the price up.
Sure. And that is big news because they did an experimental buy for $1 billion, and it wasn't clear that it was actually Buffett that did it. It was supposedly one of his subordinates in one of the lesser funds did it somewhat as an experiment. I guess that experiment went well. And that one piece of news of the $1 billion buy was reported as new news, I think, five different times, because they heard when it was about to happen, when it happened, some results of it happening, an official report of it happening. And so it's kind of strange, but the latest news is actually news where that stake went up from $1 billion to 17, I think it was $17 billion, which is quite
it's $7.7 billion worth of stock. They're holding 57 million shares.
I'm sorry, then you've corrected me.
Some $7.7 billion.
So, yeah, so no, from no, one to
I'm
seven.
Sorry, dude, I'm wrong with my correction. Increase the company now. This is a 9to5 Mac reporting. Berkshire Hathaway is holding 133 million shares, which are worth 17 billion. You had it right.
Okay, so that's the way I remembered it. So regardless, even if it went up seven, but in fact it went up 17 times, which is a major stake up and a big vote of confidence. I think it's funny because I really don't think Apple's been doing anything good as of late. If anything, the news has been pretty rotten. They can't produce a darn thing with any regularity. I'm still hopeful.
Except for money.
They're amazing producers of money, yeah, despite having no new products. I'm hopeful that we'll see what happens at WWDC and anyway, getting back to Tim Cook's a little bit playing off of what Tim Cook said with regard to the pros getting an update. This is what I think about the Mac Pro. It will either be announced at WWDC and we'll wait a bit because the chipset, I don't think goes, the new Xeon chipsets won't go into mass production till a little bit later, a bit like when the last Mac Pro was announced.
It was announced in June and it shipped in
December. Or they might not announce it till wintertime when the chipsets become more in.
If I was Tim Cook and I was going to release a new Mac Pro, I would do exactly what I did four years ago, announce it at WWDC to get developers semi excited.
That's what I would at least do. To give them hope. I agree with you. I would hope to do that. But my point is, really, if by December there's no announcement of the new Mac Pro, there is no hope. All hope is lost. That Pro product is gone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. And Apple should.
And the creatives are going to follow suit.
And should have pulled it a year and a half ago.
What's that?
And if that's the case, Apple should have pulled that product from the market when it pulled the Cinema Display.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's ridiculous that that thing is sold. It is ridiculous that that thing is sold for that price, for the price that it was introduced at 3.5 years ago. It's ridiculous that that product is still being sold, period. Let alone, I mean, if Apple is going to kill it, Apple should have killed it by now. It's an embarrassment.
I like the unpleasantness of that silence. I wish I could have somehow made it more unpleasant, because that's how much that statement deserves to just crawl under people and make them feel horrible.
Yes.
Particularly the ones in Cupertino.
So, all right, you have been outside of our podcasting. I've been listening to you rant about Apple stock price for years. Are you happier now that it's showing some upward movement again?
No, you know, I'm kind of fair about this. I don't know if you're on some of those threads that I'm on, but I complain when the market punishes Apple unfairly, which it has for years and years and years. And when the buybacks were going on, it wasn't getting rewarded anyway. And there were good announcements coming out and nothing. It seemed to be dampened by, we'll just say, mysterious outside forces. And now it's going up like crazy, and there's nothing but bad news. And you look at the market and you're just like, you got to shake your head if you're trying to see rationality come out of this. The best way you could say is, well, the Berkshire, investment was good news, but was it really, 20% movement good news? No.
Well, they bought a lot of shares, man. That buying
they did.
Process
they did.
Pushes the price up.
$17 billion.
It's not only the news that Berkshire is doing it. It's the mechanics buying all that stock.
It's very. I'll give you this. It's certainly a plausible and not unreasonable statement. That coupled with just the general movement of the market going up.
I am awash in your magnanimous solicitousness there. I'm just luxuriating in how deliciously wonderful you're being to me, John. I'm so grateful. I am so grateful for that acknowledgement.
It's good to know that you're not a petty person.
must still be a day that ends in Y.
Right. It's a perfectly plausible set of explanations, but in my opinion, on the macro side, it's been punished unfairly for way too long, and now being rewarded unfairly for inexplicable reasons. But as if you met me yesterday, I need even one full reason to rant about something. I don't need a reason to rant about something. And if you give me half a reason, I'm there. So not terribly surprising.
All right. So listen, we are at, we're at 55 minutes. So I thought that we could just do a little bit of shameless self-promotion and tell listeners a little bit more about Pop.0.
Okay. Although by my watch, it says an hour and 20, but okay.
Well, fortunately.
Oh, the recording. Okay.
I'm doing the timekeeping here.
I see. Good. Because I'm not good at that. Pop.0.
Yeah.
Pop.0. We're going to do a podcast. It's called Pop.0, as in some stuff about just whatever's out there in popular culture news. The 0.0 is supposed to, I guess, signify a little bit that we are tech guys. There'll be a heavy tech slant just because that's kind of a lot of the things that we like and look at.
We and you in particular wanted to be able to talk about technology, but we also want to be able to talk about stuff that goes a little further afield than just technology.
Politics, popular culture, just television, movies, cool video games, stuff that we normally have at least some modicum of shame.
You told me you did not want to do politics.
I don't want to do politics. Like, does anyone really want to talk about politics right now? They want to kill themselves over.
You want to talk politics all the time.
Listen, we've already established I'm a demographic of one, so that's not meaningful to anyone. My point is, I don't want to make it a show about politics because there's probably plenty of politics per se and proper and headlining. But there's a lot of politics that comes into tech and just popular culture. I don't think we're going to shy away from it. It's just that I don't want to talk about the latest legislative, movement or executive order and all that kind of stuff.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's going to be mostly technology and popular culture and anything else that comes into our mind, and it's going to be a video podcast, at least at this point. So we're going to be releasing it as both a video production on YouTube, and it will be available as an audio production on iTunes. And it will not be family friendly,
unless you have a family that swears a lot. In which case, it'll be perfect. You'll feel right at home.
You'll feel right at home if your family is the family that gets really, really dirty looks at every restaurant that you go to.
Right, exactly. You're our kind of people.
Yeah, exactly. You'll like it. Anyway, we're theoretically launching that this week. Could end up being next week. And I know that John doesn't want to hear that, but it could end up being next week. But it's coming very, very soon. We've been working on it for a while. We have a theme song, John.
I like it. You did a great job.
Thank you kindly. You did a fantastic job on the logo. We've got kind of a format. We've been working on cameras. Cameras and recording. You're actually wearing a very nice microphone. Our listeners may have noticed that you sound way better than you have in previous podcasts.
Yes, it was based on your recommendation. I don't even remember what the name of it is, but it's very pro-ish gear.
It's very, thank you for the investment. It's much appreciated, man. All right. So anyway, that's what we're going to be doing there. I'm going to play a bumper that you can't hear because for some unknown reason. And then I'll say some things and you'll say some other things.
Okay.
All right. Sausage being made here, folks. So let's see here. We got that. We got that. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thank you ever so much for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded for TMO. That's all for this week.
Stay subscribed.
And we'll see you online at TMO.
Yeah, that'll work. And then we go like this.